The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, I'm joined in the studio by Larissa Nolan, who's a journalist, and Dave Hanratty from the No Encore podcast, because it was announced today that singer Ryan Adams had two sold-out shows here later this month, but now they've been cancelled following allegations of sexual misconduct. Dave, I'm going to start with you. What does it mean for people who had tickets for a start? Will they get refunded?
They will, yeah. There have been some speculation over this for the past week or so. Essentially, his UK and Ireland tour, people had contacted the promoters, or they contacted the venues, contacted point of sale, and been told that no refunds would not be issued, that the tour was going ahead. And there was some speculation as to what exactly the end game would be here. Would the tour be cancelled at all? Was it an insurance issue? What was going on? As of this morning, at least from an Irish point of view, MCD made an announcement today and said that the tour has been cancelled. They didn't go into why. They just said it's been cancelled. Refunds will be available, processed on Monday. So basically anyone who has a ticket and wants to get their money back simply has to return to the point of origin of sale.
If it was a case that you were going to go to a show and you heard this kind of thing, would you still go to the show? That's something that we hear a lot about. Like, should you protest by not showing support?
It's an interesting one. It's something I went through myself as a fan of the band Brand New about almost 2 years ago at this stage. A very similar situation. Their singer Jesse Lacey was accused of misconduct and emotional abuse of women, something that he did admit to. There was no criminal kind of fallout from this, but the band's career was effectively over. And there was actually, in the same venue, in the Olympia Theatre, there was a date that was supposed to be a farewell to the band, and it was going to be a very emotional and cathartic night for fans like myself. And when that news filtered through before those gigs were cancelled, because there was also a period of them not being cancelled for a bit of a week, I was just thinking, how could you possibly go? It wouldn't make sense. I mean, like, from a morbid curiosity point of view, you'd almost want to see who would go. Would it be a full house? Because some people would not have a problem with this. And I've seen some people today with regards to the Ryan Adams cancellations kind of decrying this and saying this is ridiculous. They should be going ahead.
Well, do you think if Michael Jackson came back from the dead, or if you went to see R. Kelly or any, you know, something like that, is that wrong? I mean, actually, what about rappers? Like, rappers glorify mistreatment of women, drugs, the crimes they've committed. Yeah. People still go along to those. Larissa, what do you think? Are we doing a kind of a, oh, the ethics of one thing versus the ethics of another? One is good, the other's bad because of my virtue signalling?
Yeah, there seems to be an element of that, all right. Certain people seem to get away with everything. And I mean, when you're looking in particular at the Ryan Adams case, this is really, I mean, even to call it a sexual misconduct is really, really stretching it out. A lot of people who are making judgments
well,
on this.
Give us some details then.
They haven't actually read the piece.
What are the piece?
Well, this is the lowest of level. I mean, if this is coming in the back of Me Too, this is the lowest of level of accusations you can make against someone. Basically, they are normal human misbehaviours. When you read the actual details of the cases, it kind of sounds like a number of women who, you know, they had this kind of obsessional love. They both had these kind of obsessional, wild, whirlwind romances. This is what seems to be the pattern. As happens often when obsessional love is involved, people turn kind of slightly mad. And it sounds like, you know, we're only hearing one side of the story. Have to say that it sounds like, you know, there's things like patterns of manipulative behavior. He was domineering, he was vengeful, he was emotionally and verbally abusive. I mean, to be honest, there's very, very few of us. I don't know who these sanctimonious people are, because I can tell you that even from my own love history, that those things have all come into play, either from my side or from other people's side. The difference here in this one, I think, is very key to say, is that this is not a Me Too that is just directed at men. Women are equally likely to engage in this kind of behavior.
If I may go back, sorry, just real quick, I think with regards to like making the correlation between hip hop and rap and this, I think that's a bit dangerous. I think essentially that can also be a bit reductive. I mean, there are cultural contexts there with regards to that different other genres of music that don't necessarily apply to a white guy with a guitar for good reason. But that's a whole other story. I mean, if you want to get into that, but I wouldn't necessarily go along with that way of thinking.
Well, no, give it a quick go, because I mean, for instance, you'll have rappers come over here. I'm actually from Los Angeles, where a lot of these rappers come from. I don't respect that message. I don't think it has anything positive to give. I have to be honest though, I'm a fan of NWA. Yeah. And I might find myself as a white person living in Ireland going along and, you know, putting my hands in the air.
Yeah, well, I don't divide.
I want to ask David real quick. So does that make me a hypocrite? Is that bad or reductive? Is it making bad comparison?
I mean, I think if you're going to make a direct comparison to like Ryan Adams and NWA, I don't know if it applies. I mean, I understand what you're saying from the point of view as like a white person, like engaging with like kind of quote unquote black music or something that is obviously very deliberately speaking to a different community than you or I perhaps grew up in, I think you need to kind of look at those from a more complex point of view. I don't think it is as simple as just kind of making like a one sentence write off. But
well,
I think
I guess the
ethical... union of those genres does happen the way that you've done it there. And I understand the knee jerk thing of doing that, but I do think it is a knee jerk thing.
It's all music, really. But I mean, the thing about it is, this has really reduced the levels of where we're judging people from now has really been, you know, everyone should be afraid. Basically, if you're going to be shamed for engaging in what can be interpreted by one person as perfectly normal behaviour and interpreted by other as cruelty. I mean, this is really now, you've got to read the piece. It's really, the bar is really low.
He made 3,000 messages to a minor. Like, this wasn't just like some random, met a girl at a concert.
Wouldn't you think, Carl, though, when you see that he met her and he groomed her and he made the contact. It's very key, I think, here to note that in the article, it states that she repeatedly told him that she was 18 and he repeatedly asked. Now, that's a very, very different scenario to somebody who deliberately goes out. And I tell you, I wouldn't be sitting here defending Ryan Adams if there was anything coming out from that article that raised questions like that.
I would question, though, like, that's not necessarily normal behaviour. I think there's a culture of permission in the music industry and in the entertainment industry that doesn't occur in daily life. I mean, a lot of us have 9-to-5s and we have structures, we have bosses, we have kind of masters
but
to serve.
There's always idiots who engage with people on social media. I mean, the rule really is don't talk to anybody on social media. Don't start engaging with people who approach you on Twitter, which she did. In fairness, she approached him first of all, told him she was 18, and then he continued to contact her. But
there was no meeting here. He has an ulterior motive here, though. I mean,
of course. I mean, he's a guy who obviously was chasing something.
But I don't think it's a crime, is it, to have an ulterior motive? I mean, some of the people. Can I just say one thing
if
here?
You're a guy who's dirty, I'd say it's kind of almost a default position, and I say that not to offend all men listening, but I think guys are a bit scruffier than women.
But people
generally
are saying things like, you know, he started flirty texting with me. We're like, wow, who cares? Mandy Moore says things like, he said to me, he eroded my self-confidence. He told me I wasn't a musician because I don't play an instrument. Well, I'm sorry, Mandy, but that makes you not a musician, according to other musicians.
Well, I have to say, as a musician, I think human voice is still the number one.
Yeah, I think a vocalist can.
But a lot of musicians believe that people are only musicians who play an instrument, and that's hardly the worst thing ever said to her in her life. And I tell
all
you something,
all the drummers in the world are secretly rejoicing now.
Carl, if she can't handle that, she can't go out the door in the morning.
Tell me, Dave, you mentioned about the kind of the way that some of the arts industry might be. I mean, there's no casting couch in engineering. There's no groupies in banking. Do you think that this is part of what we have accepted as rock and roll culture, that these kinds of things go with it? I just watched the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, and you know, it looked like some bedlam times. I wish I was there for some of those
parties. Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody is like a toned down version of a bacchanal. I mean, I think with regards to, you know, mentioned the banking industry or whatever, of course there are like situations there where people are putting musicians that they shouldn't be put in, like that exists. But your wider point about the rock and roll culture and that kind of thing, of course that is true. I mean, for example, Netflix are bringing out a film about Motley Crue next month.
Why are we deciding that women can't handle this? Love is euphoric, we know this. It's life affirming, right? It's wonderful. It's also heartbreaking. It can be poisonous, it can be cruel. We know this. We are women, we're like you men, we're well able to handle this. And that's what I'm saying, is this is not an issue, and we're well able to do it ourselves as well. This is definitely not an issue where we go, oh, men treat women badly. This is a thing that both sexes do, and it's part of love, and it's part of the reason why life is so amazing, because we are able to handle these ups and downs.
Marissa, you've read the piece, though. You've read, as
I
you said
have,
yourself, it's a very lengthy piece. It's a very lengthy piece. There's a lot in it.
They've got a lot out of it for nothing to actually make an accusation of. That's all I can. It's really worth reading to see that.
Do you think it's totally hollow and empty? Do you think there's nothing in it?
I think it's absolutely. If I had pitched that to an editor, I would have been embarrassed. It's that full. It's nothing. It's a nothing burger. Absolutely.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.